I'm going to start with a reading that possibly you read a few weeks ago from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, starting at verse 19. In my Bible, the heading is Jesus Appears to the Disciples. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked, when the disciples were where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Well, I want to talk about the disciple that wasn't there. Now, how many disciples, I would like some audience participation. How many disciples did Jesus have? Who can tell me? 12 disciples, okay? And I'm going to help you by giving you the first letter of each disciple's name. And we'll see if we can find all the different ones. Right, hands up. We better do hands up, I think, rather than everyone shout out. Who can tell me one of the names of one of the disciples? Maria. Peter. So we got the first one. Peter. One of the first disciples. All right. Somebody else? No shouting out? All right. We'll let you off, because... Right. So we got Peter and Andrew, two of the 12. Right. Somebody there? James. Well done. We got James. And we got John, okay. Now we start to get a bit harder. Philip, well done. So we got Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and Philip. Bartholomew, well done. Bartholomew. Right. Simon, that's right, not Simon Peter, but Simon the Zealot. Not Timothy, Thomas, right? Right. Judas, all right. Well done. We got three left. We got an M, we got a T, and we got a J. Anyone think they know? Not Luke, no. James. Another James, that's right. There were two Jameses. Two with the name of James. Maria. Maria. Matthew. Right, well done. And the last one is the hardest. Maybe I better tell you. His name was Thaddeus. Thaddeus. Okay, right, let me now teach you an easy way to remember all these names. We're going to turn it into a song. Now, who remembers the nursery rhyme, "Half a pound of tuppenny rice, half a pound of treacle, that's the way to man." You're good. Right, so this, you all know the tune. So let's see if we can remember the names of disciples by using that tune. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Simon, Thomas, Judas, and James, Thaddeus and Matthew. Okay, try it again. Ready? Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Simon, Thomas, Judas, and James, Thaddeus and Matthew. Right, let's see if we can remember it now. Ready?
Peter, Andrew, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Simon, Thomas, Judas and James, Thaddeus and Matthew.
Very good. So you can sing it when you go home. And the disciple that I want to talk about today is this one here. Thomas. Now, Thomas, we don't read it too much about him in the Gospels, but we do read about him on a few occasions. And the thing about Thomas is Thomas always seemed to be saying the wrong thing. Do you ever feel like that? Sometimes you open your mouth and you think, oh, why did I say that? I just said the wrong thing. Well, Thomas was like that. The first time we read about Thomas, apart from when he's listed with the 12 apostles or 12 disciples, was when Jesus' friend Lazarus died. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go to him." Now, even though it was quite dangerous, because at that time the Jewish leaders were out to try and kill Jesus, but of course Jesus knew that he was going to go to raise Lazarus from the dead. And so he said to his disciples, "Let us go to him." And Thomas spoke up. And you would have thought that Thomas would say, "Yes, Lord, let's go, because I believe that you can raise Lazarus from the dead." But did Thomas say that? No, he didn't. Do you know what he said? He said, "Let's go that we might die with him as well." Well, that's not very encouraging, is it? You know? I mean, brave, but rather dismal. I think Thomas was a bit of a pessimist. Do you know what a pessimist is? Someone who always looks on the gloomy side. A bit like Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh. You know, "Oh no, something's gonna go wrong. I know it." Thomas was like that. Now, we're all different. Some of you are optimists. The glass is always half full. Some of you are pessimists. For every silver lining, there's a cloud. And that's just the way that you are. But the good news is this. Jesus welcomes all sorts of personalities. There were all sorts of different personalities among Jesus' disciples. Thomas was a pessimist. But Jesus didn't say, "Well, because of the way you are, you can't be my disciple." No, Jesus welcomes all sorts of different personalities, all sorts of different people. Anyway, that was the first time that we read about Thomas saying something. The second time was when Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room having their final meal together the night before Jesus was going to die on the cross. And Jesus was speaking to his disciples. And we read about it in John chapter 14. And he said, "Do not fear, do not be afraid. Trust in God, trust also in me." And he said, "I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again and take you to myself. And you know the way that I am going." Of course, Jesus was talking about heaven, that he was going to prepare a place for them, heaven. And one day Jesus would come back to take his disciples, his followers, to be with him in heaven. And Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, and you know the way that I am going." And Thomas spoke up. And you would think that Thomas would say, "Yes, Lord, I understand. I know the way. You're going to heaven, and the way to heaven is to trust you and follow you." But did Thomas say that? Not Thomas. He always seemed to say the wrong thing. Do you know what Thomas said? He said, "We don't know the way you're going or the way to get there." Thomas! He spent 3 years with Jesus, and he still didn't understand. He was a bit of a slow learner. Just like all of the 12 disciples in reality, isn't it? Do you ever feel like you're a slow learner? I think we're all slow learners sometimes in what it means to follow Jesus. But the good news is that Jesus still wanted Thomas to be his disciple, even though he was a slow learner. And so Jesus explained, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way to heaven. I am the way to God. I am the way to know the truth about God. So that was Thomas. He was a slow learner. He was a bit of a pessimist. Of course, what happened next was the saddest time for Jesus' disciples, because that night, just outside the gates, the city of Jerusalem, Jesus was arrested, and then he was tried, and then the next day they took Jesus outside the city and he was put on a cross, just like a criminal, together with two thieves. The disciples all fled when Jesus was arrested. Possibly only John was there when to see Jesus hanging on the cross. But of course, they didn't understand at the time that that was God's plan, that Jesus was dying on the cross to take the punishment for the things that we'd done wrong, not just our mistakes. Sometimes we all say wrong things, we get things wrong, don't we? That's a mistake. But we also do wrong things, wrong thoughts, wrong words, wrong actions that make us guilty before God. But Jesus was dying on the cross to take our punishment, our guilt. That was all according to God's plan. But fast forward now, from Friday to Sunday, and the disciples were gathered together in a room, and the door was locked because they were afraid of the Jews, the Jewish leaders. But they weren't all there, were they? How many are there? Can you count? 10. There's 10, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's 9. There should be 10. I didn't paint this right. I don't know why I didn't. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, you're right. There's 9. There's 10. Now there's 10. Who's missing? Well, Judas was missing, because he was the one that had betrayed Jesus. And the other one that was missing was Thomas. Now, I don't know where he was. Maybe he got hungry, decided to go down the shop to buy something to eat. I don't know. Or maybe he was just so discouraged, so disappointed, that he just wanted to spend some time on his own. Sometimes we can feel like that, don't we? We don't want to be around other people. We just want to be on our own with our own thoughts. And maybe that was Thomas. You know, he couldn't understand what happened. Why had Jesus been arrested? Why had Jesus died on the cross? So he'd just gone off to be on his own. But there is a danger of just going off on your own, especially when it comes to separating yourself from God's people. Sometimes when Christians get discouraged, they say, oh, I don't want to be with other Christians. I don't want to go to church on a Sunday. That's a mistake, because you can miss out on something special by not meeting with God's people. Thomas was about to miss out on something special because he wasn't with God's people. But there were the 10 anyway, and the door was locked. But all of a sudden, there was another person in the room. And that person spoke to the others. And that person said this. Peace. Peace to you. And they looked at me. To begin with, they thought it was a ghost. They recognized it was Jesus, but they thought it was a ghost. And Jesus showed them his hands and his side, and they realized it was Jesus. Because what did they see? In his hands and his side. Of course, they saw the marks in his hands where the nails had been when he'd hung on the cross. They saw the mark in his side where the spear had been put into his side. And they were full of joy because they realized this is Jesus. Jesus is alive. And then the Bible says again, Jesus said, peace to you. Well, that's really interesting, isn't it? Because he already said peace when he saw them first, and then he said peace again. Why did he do that? Well, some of you know that in Hebrew, of course, what's the word for peace? Shalom. Or in Arabic, salam. Salam. And when you greet somebody, you say peace. It's like saying hello. It's a nice way of saying hello. So when Jesus appeared the first time, he just said, shalom, salam, hello. But then, why did he say it the second time? He wasn't just saying hello again. He wasn't saying it sarcastically, hello, of course it's me. No, he was saying something else. Because, of course, peace in the Bible has a deeper meaning than just a greeting, hello. And in fact, he said it after showing him the wounds in his hand and his side. And in the prophet Isaiah, it says these words, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And Jesus was showing him the wounds in his hands and his side and his feet, the punishment that meant that they could have peace, peace with God, peace in their heart. And that's the peace that as Christians we can know because Jesus died and Jesus rose from the dead. A deeper kind of peace that we can only know through knowing Jesus. Well, I don't know how long Jesus stayed with the disciples, but after a while he left them, and a while after that, Thomas came back. And of course, the other disciples were all excited. And what did they say to Thomas? Do you know what they said to Thomas? This is what they said to Thomas. We have seen, whoops. We have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. And what was Thomas going to say this time? Was he going to get it right this time? Was he going to say, great, that's fantastic. Oh, I'm so sorry I wasn't there. Not Thomas, who always seemed to say the wrong thing. He said, unless I see him myself, unless I put my fingers where the nails were in his hand, unless I put my hand in his side, he said, I won't believe. I won't believe. He didn't just say, I don't believe. He said, I won't believe. Now, isn't that sad? Many people, they say, I won't believe. Why wouldn't you believe the other disciples? But he was stubborn. I won't believe. That's what many people say. They say, I don't care about the evidence. I'm not really interested in the truth. I just made up my own mind. I won't believe. The good thing about Thomas is that that wasn't his final answer. And even if you've said, I won't believe, that doesn't have to be your final answer. You see, Thomas, I think, had a reason why he said, I won't believe. He was deeply discouraged. He was deeply hurt. And you know, that can be a big problem and a cause for people to doubt. I met a lady on the streets of Pontypridd this week. And to begin with, she said, I don't believe. I don't believe God. But then I found out that she'd been very discouraged and disappointed with what she saw in some people who said they were Christians. And that can happen, can't it? Things that can happen in our people's lives that make them discouraged and disappointed. And they say, I don't believe. I won't believe. But Jesus was very patient and very kind to Thomas, because a week later, the disciples once again were gathered in the same room. And this time, it wasn't 10 of them, it was 11 of them. Thomas was there. And Jesus once again appeared. 1 week later, 8 days later, and once again he came into the room, even though the door was locked, and he said, "Peace to you. Shalom." And then he said, "Thomas, come here. Put your finger in my hands. Put your hand in my side." You see, Jesus knew all about Thomas. He knew all about his struggles, all about his questions, all about his doubts. And that's the same with us. He knows our struggles. He knows our questions. He knows when we find it hard sometimes to believe. He knows when we can't figure it out in our head. He knows and he cares, just like he cared for Thomas. And Thomas, as soon as he saw Jesus, as soon as Jesus spoke to him, this is what he said. He said, "My Lord and my God." And some of you might say, "Oh, no, Thomas, you shouldn't say that. You know, you're saying the wrong thing again. You're not supposed to say, 'Oh, my God.'" And of course, you're not. Some people, when they get upset or excited, don't they? They say, "Oh, my God." And that's not a right thing to do, because that's misusing God's name. Just using God's name, or some people even use Jesus' name, just when they get shocked or surprised. That's using God's name in the wrong way. But this time, actually, Thomas wasn't saying the wrong thing. He was saying the right thing, because he was saying it to Jesus in the right way. He was looking at Jesus and saying, "My Lord and my God." In other words, he was saying, not "I won't believe," but now, "I believe. I believe. It really is you. You really are alive. And because you are alive, I know that you are the Lord. And I know that you are God. Because only God has power over death. And you are alive." Jesus turned to Thomas and said, "Thomas, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who haven't seen me and yet believe." Do you know who he's talking about? He was talking about you and me. That's right. Because I haven't seen Jesus. You haven't seen Jesus. Jesus was only seen, risen from the dead, by some of his disciples, and then certain others. At least over 500 people saw Jesus, but they were still a limited number of people. But they were the ones that were able to say, "We have seen the Lord." But then what happened? Those people told others. And some of them, like John, wrote it down in the gospel. So we have it written. And because of their witness, their testimony, we have come to believe in Jesus and trust in him. And so we can be blessed with God's peace, with the fact that we know that God loves us, the fact that we can know that we're on the way to heaven. And that's what John wrote after he talked about Thomas. He said, "I've written these things so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." We're the ones that Jesus was talking about, who are blessed even though we haven't seen Jesus yet with our own physical eyes. Because all those disciples went out into the world to tell others Jesus is alive. And guess who went the furthest? Thomas. As far as we know, tradition tells us that Thomas went all the way to India telling people Jesus is alive. So thank God for Thomas. Thank God for Thomas that even though he was a bit of a pessimist, he was still welcome to be one of Jesus' disciples. Even though he was a slow learner, he was still welcome to be one of Jesus' disciples. Even though he had struggles believing, he was still welcome to be one of Jesus' disciples. And he was one of those that went out telling others about Jesus, that Jesus died and that Jesus is alive, so that we could know the truth about Jesus. I want us to say together a verse, well, part of a verse, 1 Thessalonians 4:4. And it's very simple. And it says this: we believe that Jesus died and rose again. All right? Think we can say that? We believe that Jesus died and rose again. Say it again. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I thank you for the story of Thomas. And thank you that even though he struggled, oftentimes he said the wrong thing. Oftentimes he didn't understand that you still cared for him. And I pray especially for anyone here who is still struggling, who's got questions, Lord, that you would just continue to work in their life. And I pray if there's anyone here that today, through hearing this message, has come to the point of saying, yes, now I do believe and I want to trust and commit my life to Jesus, that you would help them to make that choice this very day and start following you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.